Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside the overly broad range of our AM-FM capability on WVNN, it don't mean you're out. All you got to do is go on your smartphone or any other device for that matter and just go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is what I like to say. That's why we have such a broad audience. And by the way, that's part of what makes it such an honor. We have people, we got people that are all over the state and multiple other states that are all tuning in, and I get emails and you know, social media posts from them, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. It is really an honor to have this platform, and I cannot believe where this show has already gone in a short amount of time. So, and hopefully more news on that to come. But yeah, all said and done, things are going well, and I'm thankful. Hey, folks, I got to tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm, too. You hear those ads? Look, Charlene and I go out there pretty frequently and have stayed out there overnight. We've eaten out there multiple times, go shooting out there. I mean, it's a wing shooting destination for hunting pheasant and quail. It's an opportunity for you to set up a wedding venue or have a corporate retreat or whatever, or just take a day. Man, just take a day in what is imagining. I mean, it's just like an oasis beyond your imagination. It's just so good looking out there. It's so beautiful. The chefs are amazing. The facilities are great. The landscaping is amazing. Otter Creek Farm. Go to their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. ottercreekfarmstead.com. All right, enough. Let me move on here. Executive orders. Now, I got to thinking, what is an executive order? I want to hit on that for a minute before I go any further. We got to lay the predicate for where we are, okay? I mean, everybody hears, oh, Biden issued an executive order. Oh, Governor Ivey issued an executive order. Oh, Governor Greg Abbott in Texas issued an executive order. First of all, make sure you hear me say this again. Executive orders are not the law, all right? Executive orders are basically, they're a means of issuing directives that helps manage the operations of government, all right? It's like establishing a policy for here's how we're going to do it. It's like if I said, you got to skin that cat, and somebody else comes out with an executive order and says, here's how we're going to skin that cat, all right? An executive order is supposed to be something that is either constitutionally allowed, whether state or federal, or expressed or implied through an act of Congress, all right? Meaning it's been codified, and hey, Mr. President, or hey, Madam Governor, here's what you have to do, and then the executive order says, here's how we're going to do it. That's the way it's supposed to be. And executive orders, by the way, they are subject to judicial review, meaning you can go to court over them, and they can be overturned if they're not supported by the statutes or Constitution. And executive orders, they do have significant influence, but the reality is they can be canceled, revoked, adjudicated, found unlawful, expire on their own terms, and then typically the next incoming governor or president just chooses to either revoke them or sign off on continuing them. They are not the same thing as law. Law has to be passed by the legislative body, period. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now, I'm looking at right now, I've got a copy of it right here in my hands. Executive Order number 724 from Governor Ivey, issued yesterday afternoon, right before she issued the call for the special session, the call that did not include anything about dealing with the COVID vaccine mandates. But nonetheless, they are going down to Montgomery to deal with redrawing the district lines, which they have to do by Constitution. I got no fuss over that. Maybe how they do it, but not the fact that they're going to do it. They're also going to be in special session to give out some federal relief dollars to the healthcare associations, which one? I think it was nursing home associations. But I'm looking at her executive order, and I want to point out something. There's a premise in the law that once you undertake a certain duty, you are bound to that duty, and you have to follow through typically in a reasonable manner. Now, government has some nuances in the law, but I'm looking at right here on the front page of Governor Ivey's executive order regarding COVID vaccine mandates, and in the fourth recital, it says, whereas these new federal COVID-19 vaccine mandates threaten to increase vaccine skepticism, okay, there's that, and to severely disrupt the state's economy. There is an absolute acknowledgement right now, even within the text of the executive order, that the vaccine mandates are basically believed to have a severe disruption potential to our state's economy. You think? But what I'm saying there is, this is acknowledgement by the governing body. And yet, we don't see a whole lot of true activity to try and countermand it. Now, when you look at the executive order, it does all the things I said earlier, all right? It reinforces that the attorney general will be going, you know, to court on this. It reinforces that executive branch, state executive branch employees are considered protected. They cannot be mandated to get vaccinated, and they cannot be mandated to provide proof of vaccination in one capacity or another, or have their jobs impacted as such. Contractors with the state of Alabama are considered to be exempt from having to have any provision of their contract requiring or imposing upon them about vaccine mandates. But it has all these little clauses in there, like basically, unless they're otherwise required to by federal law, yada, yada. Well, so it starts getting really hollow when you read the fine print. It also specifically says in paragraph 6 on the executive order, there is no private right of action, meaning there is no employee who could ever find a grievance and then file suit against the state for that grievance. Anyway, I'm a litigator. As an attorney, I'm a litigator, but I'm not litigious, is what I like to say. But I do know there has to be an enforcement mechanism. There has to be some means by which you can actually get things done or have some teeth in it, if you will. All right, so, you know, one of the things that happened in the last couple of days is that you had this conundrum going on. All right, what happens? Vaccine mandates. Who's affected? Well, we have a vaccine passport ban right now in the state of Alabama. We have basically helped by enforcing the fact or reinforcing the fact that this vaccine passport ban does exist in state law, and UAB was going to require it. And then our friends at the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, Matt Clark, came on the show and talked about it. They reinforced to UAB, you can't do it, and UAB backed off. Well, just in the last 48 hours, officials at the University of Alabama system, at Auburn University, and by the way, this includes UAH in Huntsville, UAB down in Birmingham, the whole entire UA system, announced they were moving forward with vaccine mandates after all because they had been informed that they technically receive federal funds through a variety of means, and therefore they may indeed be considered quote-unquote federal contractors. Well, okay, then Governor Ivey issues her executive order. That fixes things, right? That'll fix it. If I'm at UAH and I'm a professor, I don't have to worry about it now. Yeah, I wish I could say that was true. No. So here's the thing. Just after Governor Ivey issued her executive order, I'm sitting here holding a report from Auburn Opelika News. The Auburn Opelika News headline, October 25th. That's last night. Ivy's new executive order will not affect Auburn University's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. They're already thumbing their nose at it. Literally, thumbing their nose at it. They literally said, Auburn, considering the potential of lost federal support, is moving forward with its plans to vaccinate all staff. When asked how Auburn can enforce a vaccine policy when state law prohibits such a policy, Auburn spokesman Preston Sparks responded with the following statement. Quote, federal law, including validly issued executive orders and agency regulations, supersedes and preempts conflicting state law. As a federal contractor, Auburn is subject to these new requirements, notwithstanding any conflicting Alabama law. Did you hear that? If there were a state law in place, there's a potential that we could fight this a little better. Now, I do believe, by the way, that Auburn is overstepping. I do believe that they are. I also believe they're looking at their dollar signs and they're making a decision and sacrificing people over dollars. And that's where we are. That's where we are. Now, so where do we go from here? I mean, certainly we're going to have something, right? There's going to be something that says, we need a bill in the legislature, like the one I described to world, the low-hanging fruit. Mandate the shall, not the may, the shall consider a religious accommodation. The shall consider a medical accommodation for exemptions. Well, that's easy. That's a bill, right? except that Governor Ivey, who just issued her executive order and spoke pretty tough yesterday. I mean, she was all in. This is pushing back. She gave a speech this morning. Got a copy of it here. Oh, the second one I've had from AL.com. Wonderful. John Sharp at AL.com says, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey said that the way to resolve opposition to federal mandates is through the courts and not through legislation that has recently surfaced in Montgomery. Ivey, following a speech in Mobile Tuesday, so she gave a speech just this morning, said that it, quote, makes no sense to have a federal law and a state law at odds that places employers in an uncomfortable middleman position to make decisions that would place them in a bad position. God forbid that the employees should also be considered in this. That's what's irking me. Now, I'm sitting right here. I've got an award on my shelf from the Business Council of Alabama for working on legislation that I agreed with, and so did they. I've got awards right now on the same shelf from the County Commission Association for helping pass legislation that also opposed businesses who were raiding county coffers. I'll call balls and strikes when I see it. But folks, I'm just telling you, what I am not hearing right now, what I'm hearing over and over again is businesses, businesses, businesses. Well, folks, if there's no one working in your businesses, guess what happens? The business is hurt anyway. And I just read you breaking news a moment ago. In Decatur, in our own listening area, United Launch Alliance, a rocket manufacturer over there in Decatur, has people walking off the job protesting because they've been applying for their religious accommodations and the business is deciding just not to give them. No, we don't think it's religious enough. And that is not the way it's supposed to work. All right, folks, going to take a short break here. Going to come back, talk about this some more. I'm giving you all the nitty-gritty today. I'm giving you everything it takes to have that water cooler conversation. And when somebody at Sunday school or in the fast food line says, well, what do you think about Governor Ivey's executive order? Or what do you think the legislature should do? Or how can we get by on this issue? I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you thick. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Just got a text from a listener a moment ago. Said it pretty clearly. Said that she thinks the business community has decided that the unvaccinated are expendable after weighing money versus individual employees. That's a crying shame. Hey, listen, we had breaking news a moment ago about United Launch Alliance, a rocket manufacturer over in Decatur. They're vital to the national interest, aren't they? I think they are. But they've got employees that are walking off. And I've got a call coming in on line five that I want to take that may relate to that. So I'm going to go to line five, William from Decatur. Hey, William, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I'm standing out here at the gate of ULA, and what we are trying to fight for, of course, is our right to make a choice. And some of us have been here for 21 years. 10 months ago, they gave us a letter that said that we were essential workers and we needed to come to work no matter what. No vaccine, no nothing available. And we were all here working, trying to maintain this plant going. Today, they got people being walked off because they didn't wear a mask. Whether they were drinking or whether they have a oversight, they're being terminated and fired, looking for any excuse to get them out of the gate.
Wow. Where did the switch flip, William? And by the way, William, I am really sorry you're having to go through all this, but I appreciate you calling in because I think our listeners need to hear this is happening right here in the listening area. So when did the switch flip? I mean, you guys were considered essential employees. When did it stop feeling like you were essential?
As soon as the mandate was in place by the president, our company said that their contracts were being renegotiated by the government, and we were under the federal mandate. Of course, a federal mandate is not out there yet. We don't have an order or a law that says that we have to
that's right.
Go through this. But our company CEO is being very proactive. He wants to be ahead of the curve and be up front about being one of the first ones on the aerospace industry to mandate their employees to have the vaccine.
So, another thing,
I don't know if you're aware of, and it's very appalling to me, is the Department of Alabama AIDT has set up a trailer right here on our parking lot. And that trailer is going to be training the people that's going to be replacing us on Monday. So I didn't know the state of Alabama was in the business of training replacement workers. Our own tax dollars are being used not only just to replace us, but to train the people that are coming right behind us.
That is appalling. And that bothers me greatly. And I've worked, as a former state senator, I've worked with AIDT. They're good at helping new factories find a workforce. But this almost feels like at the same time as the governor is proposing this executive order that didn't really help you a whole lot, at the same time they're sending AIDT up there to help replace those of you that are losing your jobs. I had not heard that. That's amazing to me.
Well, that trailer was pulled into our parking lot Monday.
So, William, let me ask you this. How many of your employees there are looking at losing their jobs instead of getting the vaccine? Do you know?
The last number that I had was around 185 people was not vaccinated. Of course, the company sending text messages and making phone calls on our personal phones, reminding us that on the 29th, if we haven't turned in our vaccination record, we will not be in compliance. And October 30th, we will not be allowed to come in the facility. Our badges will be turned off, and we will be terminated for non-compliance with company policy.
So the article that I read a little while ago, William, said there's roughly 697 employees out there, and you're telling me that 185 of those may have to be replaced? Is that what you just said?
Well, I think that's the number that was not vaccinated. I'm sure some of those individuals will address their personal, situation in this week, and some of them might decide to take it. Some of them are not going to, and they're going to be leaving.
William, we got about a minute left before this segment ends, but I want to tell you, first of all, how much I appreciate you calling in, because this is the most timely call I could have ever asked for. This is breaking news, and you're also giving it to us straight. Can I ask you personally, are you at risk of losing your job? Do you think you're going to wind up losing your job personally?
Well, and I'm in a different situation. I'm going to be able to leave here and retire if I don't get fired between now and Friday, and I'll be able to draw my 401k, and I'll be fine. I feel for the younger generations that don't have that ability to deny this tyrannical mandate. I feel for those guys that are going to have to leave and go find another job.
Well, William, God bless you, man, and I'm hoping that we can see something happen very soon with our Attorney General. We're up against a break right now, but I would like for you to call in and keep us posted as you see this thing develop, because I think the audience needs to hear this. This is the human factor that's involved in all of this. And William, God bless you, Godspeed, and keep us posted, all right? All right, folks, that was an amazing call. Did you hear that? Talk about timely. We just broke that news right here on Right Side Radio. Story broke 45 minutes ago, and one of those employees just called and gave us a scoop on what's happening at United Launch Alliance as they literally look at laying off well over 100 people, because they've already got state influence up there training new people to replace them. Fires me up. I'll be right back.